Believe in yourself, believe in your body. Rock, 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 it's the self-esteem party. Yeah. Everyone, welcome to the Self-Esteem Party Podcast. I'm your host, Alana Johnston, and with me, as always, sitting in a new arrangement of couches, is producer slash husband slash roommate, Norm Sousa. Norm, how you doing?
We got rid of the table.
We got rid of the table. Anessa took it. We now have a two-couch setup in the studio.
Yeah. I'm on a couch, you're on a chair, we're across from each other. It's going to be more of a casual vibe from now on.
Guys, from now on, if I sound laid back and relaxed, it's because I'm in the studio. From now on, even, if you hear me peacing out, it's because I'm hanging out in my office.
Even saying it kind of sleepy. Hey, everybody, if I'm honestly.
Norm, what's popping relaxing. Off? Same what's way. Popping off for you, Norm?
Not much. Well, we're holding microphones.
I know. Usually we have the microphone stand.
Which
so
we will. We will have stands.
If we kind of sound a little sexy, a little unplugged, that's why.
Going from sleepy to sexy and unplugged. No, yeah, you're right. Things are good. Well, we had I was in a really bad mood the past couple of days. Basically, the house is testing my manhood. And I find it quite frustrating. We've had a gas problem, natural gas, not my stinky butt shooting farts.
Hey, reeks, you've heard it from me.
Well, anyway, so the gas company, well, we didn't have hot water for like 4 days.
I haven't showered.
Absolutely sucked.
I just haven't bothered. And I've been out. Yeah. I've been doing things.
No, I know. We both reek. We're comfortable. We're kicking back. We reek.
Sexy unplugged. We're not using the screens that usually cover the mic, so we're kind of raw dogging it.
yeah. Not to mention, we smell like 1,000 butts. No, but things are okay. Well, what was very frustrating was I couldn't get the pilot light in the hot water tank, but it was because of the gas problem that we had, basically. It's unbelievably complicated for me, but quite easy for the guy who works at the gas company.
I think what was really going on is that you felt useless.
Yes, that's right.
And that's a shitty feeling.
Yeah. Because I like hot water.
Norm, what do you like most about hot water?
Gotta be that feeling you get. No, it was but things are turning around. We're so close on this fucking place. It's making me crazy.
I love it. I'm having a blast. I'm coasting.
You're just coasting through. Wait a minute.
Hey, new couch, me. New couch setup is a coasting.
It's not even a new couch. It's actually the
old. That's why I'm calling
it
new couch setup.
Right.
The
right.
new setup of couch.
Because we basically just moved the living room couch into
the studio.
Which we're now spelling with a J. If you haven't noticed.
If you haven't noticed, we're spelling it out. Get on it or get under it.
Get under it.
Okay, so you've been a little angry, I've noticed. Yeah. You're cooled down now because of a hot shower soon to come.
Well, we can't wait for that. And also, sometimes I get this like tension in my neck and shoulders that becomes so unbearable. It gives me like a headache too. And so yesterday we have this like icy hot roller thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think we did too much because my whole back was on fire.
It knocked you right out.
Yeah, well, I had to take a couple of Aleve, too. I was in a real rough spot, and I went to bed at 7 p.m.
Oh, I stayed up so late watching Selling Sunset. We're talking almost 9:45. Almost. I think I went to bed slightly early.
Yeah, you have the same timetable as the sun.
I wish I could log those kinds of hours.
But yeah, things are, I'm hoping are turning around and, maybe next week they won't be as frustrating. I think by next week we'll be okay.
I already feel okay. I'm having a great time 'cause I love different things. Mm-hmm. It's fun to change it up.
Right.
I hate when things stay the same for too long.
So switching up, not having hot water was the thing that you needed.
I loved it. It was an adventure. I felt free. I felt like I was really testing myself as a woman.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
and I passed.
I'm doing a polar bear dip every morning.
I just revolted.
But yeah, the RIP table and chairs, we were going to sell them, but we ended up.
But who cares?
We ended
Why?
Up giving them to our friend Anessa
because she's earned it.
She's earned it.
You guys see these gorgeous chairs.
I don't think she's done shit about it.
Norm, I didn't even ask scale of 1 to 10. How you feeling?
Right now, I'm probably about a 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
So still low, but better than a 2 or 3 because the gas is working.
Well, now that the gas... yesterday... Oh my God, could have been a, 1, 2, or 3. It could have been the
Been in a nasty mood.
Yeah.
It's so hard because I'm like, what can alleviate this for him? And I feel useless, and that makes me feel bad in those moments.
No,
I just got to let you ride it out, but then I kind of have to hide from you because I'm like, ooh, he is going to be sticky right now. Yeah. No thanks.
It's not like one of those moods that drugs and alcohol can fix.
Yeah, no, it's just stank the whole time. It's just
stank-ass nasty-tude.
Okay, so you're at a 4. I'm clearly doing a bit better.
Yeah, you're like at an 8 or something.
It's God, at least. I've just been getting excited about things that are coming up. Mm. And normally I make a lot of plans and then have a bit of dread about all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh my God, Alana, why do you always get yourself into this? And I'll kind of get like preemptive social anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm doubling down. I'm going double bold a la Norm Sousa.
You have to these
I'm
days.
Leaning in. I'm getting excited for the plans. I'm following through.
What are these plans?
Well, just my show and a baby shower.
Right.
No, and I'm going to Philly.
You're going to Philly, yeah.
But that's at the end of the month. We'll have to tune back in about that closer too.
You did the show at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
Oh my God, I can't believe I didn't even fucking bring this up. I hope our intro's not going too long because I have to talk about this. Here it comes.
No, we're fine.
On Tuesday last week, after the episode came out, I got to host Beth Stelling, who's been directing Mine and Moe's Johnson and Weld show. Her Netflix is a joke show at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery in the Masonic Temple, 250-seat crowd.
I really feel like me and Beth are becoming good friends.
You guys are becoming good friends. You were in the VIP section up on the balcony.
Mm-hmm.
You were sitting with the VIPs on the blocks and on the like giant stairs, which were more than fun. Hello, get me in a library once again.
It was me, the Netflix executives, and that's it.
Pat and Jackie.
Oh, Pat and Jackie.
Yeah. You can't forget Pat and Jackie, Norm.
Yeah,
old neighbors. But I got to say this. It's like, first of all, I had a killer outfit on, so I felt confident. Hair day, working out. I had to run down the aisle to get to the stage a la Price is Right in these thigh-high boots, which I thought were a great idea at the time.
And were wearing your jacket... Leather jacket,
my
suede,
leather suede dress jacket, yes,
came out of a
which when Danier, I wear that
Danier leather catalog,
yes, when I wear that, you know shit's going down,
right?
And I'll tell you what went down: the house, and I brought it there because it was electric. This crowd was hot; they were ready to laugh. Mo killed,
Mo did
Beth
great.
Annihilated. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. Overall, it was just such a fun night. We went out afterwards. We had a blast.
We had some wings.
Oh my God, it was such a good night. And I gotta say, I had therapy on Friday, a few days after, and I had asked about the show because I told her it was coming up. We were talking about it. Talked about a couple other things. Halfway through the session, she goes, so it seems like things are going really well. What else do you want to talk about? And I went, honestly, I'm riding this high. I don't even want to get into the other bullshit. So I'm calling it. And we just ended the session.
Nice.
Yeah, because I wanted to keep it going. Now I've kind of come back down to life because I have work to do. Got to focus up.
And the water.
And the water obviously cooled me out from the hot, hot show.
Of course.
But I got to say, for those couple days there, especially that Tuesday night, Norm, oh my God, I might have been a 9.7 or something fucking wild like that. That's, it felt so good.
A figure skater score.
Yeah. Got in my head afterwards a little bit, but in the moment, I really let myself feel it.
And you got the big show at Dynasty, right? That's coming up next
week. Oh, yeah. We've been promoting that nonstop. It's coming up. It's going to get wild. Maybe I'll have Mo on the Patreon. Guys, if you're not already on the Patreon, get a life and get on the Patreon.
What are you doing?
Norm and I will be releasing the monthly check-in.
Stop
a longer episode where Norm and I see what's been really popping off and dig deep into it.
We're going to record the check-in today.
That's right. We are. Yeah, we are. Probably after your hike. Okay, Norm, should we get to it?
I think we should. Who's the guest?
Oh, yeah. Guys, get ready for this big catch-up with an old pal. And let me tell you, he gets into it. We went wild. So please kick back, relax like me in the new couch setup, and help me welcome Patrick McDonald right after this break. It's a self-esteem party. It's a self-esteem party. Patrick, welcome to the Self-Esteem Party Podcast. How excited are we right now?
I'm absolutely thrilled. I'm thrilled, Alana.
I am thrilled, too. Look at this. We both are rocking some gorgeous curls, which Huge. Hasn't even come up yet.
We
I'm
haven't
surprised.
Even discussed it. I mean, I...
We haven't even discussed it.
The thing is, I could talk to you about curls for hours. We could talk products. I have... Because I recently... just kind of started doing the curly hair thing
yes,
in the past couple years.
True.
And it's a full
yes.
hobby. Like you have to really yeah. take care of it. I just bought satin pillows for my hair.
Okay. Welcome.
Have you done this?
All I have to say, of course, all I have to say to you is welcome.
It's
also
brand
when
new.
You dry your hair, when you dry your hair, you're supposed to use a soft cotton shirt, not a towel.
Yeah, I do towels that. I do the head wrap. I do the wrap. And then I yeah. also bought some microfiber towels that I use as well.
Oh, very good. What products are we talking? And
okay.
then we'll do our self-esteem party check-in. But what
okay.
products
Fantastic.
Are we talking?
So right now we're rocking the R&Co. We're rocking the R&Co, the yep. one that has a roller coaster on it. And then the pinstripe one. And then there's a spray that I also use. Of course,
okay.
we're going to do the Shea Moisture leave-in conditioner.
Yeah. And just so everyone knows, that's a huge of course.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a massive of course right there.
That's because I'm guessing
I'm gonna,
you're the
and
same.
I'll be the first to say that. Yeah, I'll be the first to say that. That's a huge of course.
It's an obvious of course.
Very obvious. I do the same. Very obvious. Yeah.
It's just obvious. It doesn't need to be said based no. on this little Shirley Temple bobby curl right next to my
exactly.
head.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
That's a Shea Moisture original. I think that's what I'm rocking with right now. I have that kind of remembering spray that I spray halfway through the day.
Yeah.
That kind of
Well,
the
thing
me.
Is you don't want to do an overload.
No.
So it's like you got to and curls last for a couple days.
Yeah.
So you pump up the product and then you let it roam free.
You do and you don't touch it and that's my problem is that I like to touch it and run my
I've
hands
already,
through it.
I'm already watching you. I'm already seeing it. You're like wow. pulling these poor little gals out.
You
Leave
hear
them
screaming.
Alone. Leave them alone. They're going, "I'm doing my thing." Quit man explaining hair to me.
You're right. I gotta stop touching them. Okay, call me out every
you
time I do
stop.
It. I'm gonna not. I'm gonna
I
not.
I will.
Okay. Good.
Okay. So Patrick, this next question might already be affected by the events that have unfolded on the podcast thus far.
Wow.
What we like to do to start things off is a self-esteem party check-in. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how are you feeling about yourself?
Wow.
And the reason why I said what happened might be affecting you is because you might be feeling really good that you have such self-care for your hair, or you might be feeling, really bad that this is consuming your life.
Yeah, he could go either way. It's one or the other.
He could honestly go either way. Like when you think about it, we don't know how this is going to pan out.
Yeah, this is there's inside of you, there are two wolves kind of thing. You know, it's like, am I excited about this new curly hair lifestyle or is it overwhelming me? Am I,
yeah.
you know, the... You know, single mother juggling it all, but it all is
Are
my
you
curls.
A new you because
a new
you've
me.
Started new hair. And here's the thing about new hair. I'm going to make a bold statement before you say your number.
Okay.
Usually when somebody starts rocking a new do, it's because there was some sort of a big transition or a breakup.
Wow.
So you moved.
Yeah.
You quit a job. Something has ended or changed. So I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah.
I'm curious to get the story. I want to hear the number and then let's chat.
Okay. So you know what? Let's really assess. I'm going to really assess how I'm feeling about myself right now.
Yep.
What's going on with me interpersonally, between friends, between life, between career, everything, personal
all
image,
that once.
All of that. Let's lump it in. And I think we're on a high end today, and I think I'm going to say, I'm going to give myself, honestly, like maybe a 7.5 or 8 today.
And what does it take to ride such a high? Give us your dirty little secrets.
What would you say is the general average? I mean, I just want to know what people are coming
you
in
know
with.
You know what? I got to be honest with you, Patrick. This podcast is a whirlwind. You don't know what you're going to get out of these psychopaths. You really
freaks.
Don't know. You don't know what you're going to get out of these absolute maniacs. I can tell you that much, AKA my guess.
Yeah.
I will say, okay, so it's all over the spectrum because
it depends when you catch somebody,
yeah,
what's going on. I will say the last couple months have generally been higher numbers. I'm going to say probably 7 and up.
We love
seven
that.
Seven up, if you will. We seven love seven up.
It's been a seven up.
We love seven
season
up. Yeah, and the there's a seven up zero in case that's what gets you going. You yep know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But we do love seven up. But I will say it's been a higher number because I think people, whether they know it or not, are practicing gratitude for having access to the things and people they didn't have access to the last 2 years. So whether someone's actively practicing that gratitude or just experiencing it without knowing where it's coming from, I am sensing this in people.
I love that. I you know what's yes funny is
I do, and I do too, because yeah this podcast during the pandemic, Patrick, was hard.
I believe it. I it certainly was hard believe it.
People were not doing well. Yeah. I was not doing well. I don't know if it was the funnest or happiest or most exciting podcast to listen to. It just was a podcast that existed during that time,
yeah,
in which we would catch people with how they were feeling then and there. And it wasn't always the best.
That is rough. I mean, that's exciting, you know, to I mean see. I mean, we can use this podcast as some sort of scientific study to see what's going on, you know?
We
can
and for so many other reasons in terms of science. Yeah. Yes.
In terms of science, just, a lot of reasons. Just, this is the Amazon rainforest.
Science, yeah, it's like, in terms of science, actually the podcast is quite useful for like a lot of studies.
Medicinal properties. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, the sociology of it all, my God.
I believe it.
The hierarchy of the podcast.
Oh, I certainly believe it. Okay, well, I would want to answer your question about the hair. You know, this is not crisis hair, yes, I would say. Which I like to...
Is it coming into your own hair?
Here's the thing. So I used to have curls when I was in high school, and I didn't take care of them, and they were just wild, and they were, you know, I went on a vacation to Mexico, and one of the event staff, this French-Canadian girl that I had a crush on, even though I was 14 and she was 30 or something, it's one of those things, you know.
That sounds about French-Canadian to me.
Exactly. Thank you, thank you, thank you. She used to call me Broccolito. That was because I look like a little piece of broccoli.
Yes, you do.
And so I said, she must be into me. I would look like broccoli to her. That must be cool.
Oh, wow. That's a jump.
No,
yeah, that's
and
a
it
jump
was a jump. And I was 14 and I've learned a lot. Looking back, I wish
you've
I knew.
You've learned a lot.
But I then my hair was really short for a long time out here. And I just kept it short. I'm not sure why. I think there was a big period of time where I wasn't necessarily interested in being perceived. I didn't feel great about myself. And I was like, I'll just kind of blend in and be a fly on the wall a little bit. And, you know, I'm a writer, so I was like, I'll just let yes my words speak for themselves, and then otherwise I won't exist, is what it looks like I was going through back then. Quarantine happened. I couldn't get a haircut. My hair started getting longer. I liked these curls. I missed these curls.
Oh,
they feel like
back
me. Thank you. And I decided to stick with them because I was like, this is me, you know? And I'm trying to... my big self-esteem personal, like, loop... And the thing that I go through back and forth is, have you ever, and this is more work related, but did you ever watch that Gary Shandling documentary? Did you ever see that? The one that Jed Apatow
did? No, but I've heard so much about
yes
it. I know a lot of people that watched it and kind of got little tidbits of
yes
pieces of inspiration that yes people took from it. So yes, I know of it quite a bit.
Right. Yeah. And his thing is like, you know, I'll never it be the smartest. I'll never be the funniest. I'll never be the most attractive, but I can be the most Gary, right? That's what he wrote in his
yes
diary. And I was like, I'll be the most Patrick. Like I'll just, I you know, a few years ago I had to turn it and I was like, I'll just be the most me that I can be because literally no one is here and is in this body. I had another realization, you know, we can unpack all of this, but I had another realization on shrooms actually a few months ago in Joshua Tree, where my big revelation, my psychedelic revelation was like, oh, I'm gonna miss this body when I go, which was a big step for me because sometimes
okay
I have ups and downs with my own personal body, which I'm sure no one can relate to. It's my own personal demon.
If you could stop talking about God knows what the fuck this is, that would be great.
It's just hard being
this
the only
new
person.
This new concept. It's just, I don't want to hear it. Nobody hear does. It.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Exactly.
It's foreign to me.
Yeah. So I've been trying to put returns into being myself, and I feel like I have been rewarded by them, by the universe, by things, by coming in, not worrying about what I'm saying somewhere or what I'm posting or anything like that, and then mm-hmm. kind of being appreciated for it and not questioning it past that. And it's been very nice lately.
Way to use your hair as a beautiful metaphor for self-growth. I got to be honest with you. Okay, let's tell my perspective of it. We got yours.
Okay.
Let's get mine. So meeting you, I had already been at UCB for a couple years before I met you.
Yes.
I don't know if you were around or not around because, like you said, you A, tried to blend in, and B, you were a writer. Right. And I was predominantly a performer.
Yeah.
So unless you're on the same sketch team in which you're writing and I'm performing, you're not always going to cross paths. You know what I mean?
Right. I have a very specific story that I hope we get to, by the way, about us meeting. So we'll
I promise you we will if it's about me.
Okay.
So I promise all stories about me make it to air. I can guarantee this. We will find the time.
We will. Okay. We're going to pencil some stuff
in. Yeah. Just so everybody knows, we'll make room. But definitely when I met you, here are the things that stuck out to me.
Let's hear it.
I knew you had curly hair. This is the one vain thing. I knew you had curly hair. It takes one to know one. Yes, the brush out.
Yeah.
The no product, the touching too much, the putting your hands through it like you're doing right now. Yeah, these are all things to literally diffuse the curls, AKA your personality. Okay. Yeah. So you definitely did that. Yes, you kept it short. You did look like every other basic guy. You did.
Yeah.
You also didn't care about the way you dressed.
Correct.
So there was no personality to it. I'm not going to say the word style. It's that there was no personality to it because style changes.
Right.
Style changes. Yeah. One day flare, one day skinny. I don't know. Yeah, can I get a memo about it? Whatever. Whatever, whatever.
Whatever.
But it's like there was no personality there. Mm-hmm. What was his thing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing about you. Here's why I knew there was a personality missing to the look. Because I will never forget this conversation. I already knew you. I'd been working with you on a couple of like oddball shows. Your show with Anessa, the dating, everything.
Yes, which you were amazing.
But I will never forget. Thank you so much. Yes, I was. I will never forget. We were at Jay's Bar one night. And the two things we talked about was, one, you said to me, you write a sketch every single day, no matter what.
Yeah.
And I thought that was psychotic. I still do. To the very core of me, I think that's the talk of a crazy man. But nonetheless, I was very impressed. And I was like, okay, so he's a hard worker. That's one thing about your personality I now know, right?
Yeah.
And the second thing was just complete aloofness and unawareness of dating. Just out to lunch, Patrick. I mean, you were out to lunch and no one was buying because you were so standoffish for various reasons.
Was I?
You were, Patrick. You were because I think this is the you trying to blend.
Yeah.
So if you're not feeling up on yourself, you're going, why would anybody else like me? They don't. Let's forge ahead.
Yeah.
Honestly, Patrick, this is what I'm seeing a mile away during this time in your life, specifically at Jay's Bar. The conversation of you writing a sketch every day and not really being interested in dating came up that same night.
That is
so
crazy.
So it was like
crazy.
My big Patrick reveal.
That is
my
crazy.
My big reveal of you.
That is so shocking that is what you got to lead with for me for a good serious amount of time.
Yes.
That's wild.
Okay. So that's my story of you. You said you had something.
I have a story that I just remember. I didn't know you super well, but there was some show that we had done at the UCB Inner Sanctum, by far theater number 3 out of 3 at UCB.
and just so everybody knows what we're talking about, the Inner Sanctum was essentially a gymnasium.
It was. And you hosted a show there every Thursday. And then I took over that show with Anessa.
Yes, with Anessa.
Yeah, and it was an absolute blast. But I gave you a ride home one day. And I don't know if you remember this, but I think I gave you a headlamp. Do you remember that?
Wait.
I think.
Was it green?
I think so. I think for some reason,
my God,
I had a headlamp and you needed a headlamp. And
it was green. It was like a lighter green.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yes, Patrick. Yes, this happened.
And I have been dealing with this thing lately where I used to just give people things. And I recently tried to do that at Coachella. And I had this like little schedule that had the album, the Caribou's album cover on the bottom, the back of it. And this guy was like, I love Caribou. And I was like, take my schedule. And he was like, no. And I was like, oh, yeah, you don't. I was like, I don't need to give people things. I think you did need a headlamp. But I realize this is a trait of mine that might not be perceived as nice. It might be weird that I just give things away.
Patrick, I'm going to stop you right there. I have a hard and firm policy. And this is real, and I'm saying this to everybody right now, and I know it's going to backfire and work against me, but I have a hard and firm policy. If somebody asks me for something that I have physically with me on my back that day, I will give it to them.
I love that.
Because if you are so rude as to ask me for my personal belongings, if you have such guts, you deserve to be rewarded.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you this. I have lost 2 sweatshirts, a purse, and a couple of items of food because of this.
Really?
Yes. 2 of my favorite sweatshirts I had to give away. Had to. The policy.
Oh my God. You had to give them away.
I don't recommend it. I don't recommend it.
I don't know if I've given a sweatshirt away. I have given a sweatshirt away. I gave away a hat once. I gave a hat away once because I was at a retreat in Joshua Tree, the same place that I learned that I'm going to miss my body when I go. Somebody said, I love that hat. Can I have it? And I literally bought it the week before. And I said, sure. And you can have it. And I loved the hat too. And I miss it. But I could tell that she wanted the hat more. And
so that's how I feel.
Yeah.
Is that I'm like, you know, if someone's to ask for this item, it must have really struck a chord with them.
Yeah.
And if they're asking. I bought it because I saw it and I was asking for it. I went, I want this.
Yeah.
And that's why I bought it. And I'm like, they're just doing the same thing without the trip to the store. Yeah. Smart.
Smart. I wish I was them. Would you ever ask someone for something that you liked?
I would never. What am I, a monster? What am I, a literal sociopath? asking for people's belongings like a true maniac? No. I couldn't.
I have trouble receiving help. I have trouble, you know, obviously. My well, dearth of different. Fashion that you notice.
Hold on. Okay. Hold on. Help is different.
Help is different. You're right.
If I need help with something I can't do myself, but yes. To ask for an item from someone, I can go get that myself. It's just I'm being lazy.
Yeah.
But the help, like, say, okay, here's an example. I don't know how to do a poster myself, like graphics and stuff like that. I don't know how to do that myself.
Right.
I would ask somebody for help with that. A friend for a favor, right? But only because I know I can give them something in return.
I feel the same
like,
way, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. There's just some friends where you're like, it's such a back and forth that I'm like, I know at some point I actually can repay the favor. So I actually don't feel like I'm asking for something. I feel like I'm initiating the first part of what will be an exchange.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
Does that make sense?
And it's like, and then you're going to be there for the future, whatever this is. I'm opening
that's
the doorway.
That's what I mean.
And I like that.
Like the mafia.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But you start exactly with it because like they're the going to need something back.
But I start. Well, I'm the boss.
You're the boss.
That goes.
You're
kiss the ring, baby.
Yo, kiss the ring.
Just so everyone knows, we're both showing our fingers, no rings.
We both got about 20 to 30 rings each on this pod.
We each have 20 to 30 rings sponsored by the podcast. Thank you so much. Yeah,
sponsored by Rings. All Rings.
Rings.com. Allrings.com.
Rings.com. Not to be confused with Ring. That is doorbells. Rings with an S. That's rings you put on your fingers.
Patrick, we've covered a lot. I have about 100 questions.
We really have.
Right,
I mean, we're diving in and I'm absolutely loving
it. We're but shy of 20 minutes. That's how much we're in.
I
have a lot of questions for you though.
Okay.
Can I start firing away?
Let's fire away. I feel safe. I feel vulnerable but open. I feel like you've seen me and nailed me in a specific way already. So I feel like I'm in the palm of your hand.
Patrick, I hate to break it to you. If I nailed you, you'd fucking know it.
That's that knife
Come on,
energy.
I am good. Oh, I am good. That's the knife energy right there for you.
Oh my goodness.
That's the knife. That's the knife.
Oh, that's the knife. I didn't know I was talking
about the knife. I'll put her away. I'll put her away for now.
Okay.
Okay. So Patrick, these are the couple of things I want to know. Well, there's a million things I want to know. I love you so much.
Oh
you know
my God,
that.
I love you. Yes.
But when we first were chatting, just to get back to that Jay's Bar conversation of there. My big realization of all things, Patrick, you were not focused on dating. And here's the thing. At that time, I knew someone that had a crush on you and was trying to make the moves. And it didn't go well. So here's what I want to know. Was it an aloofness that you were just like, couldn't clue into anything? Was it a decision where you were like, I have to focus on work? Or was it just something you didn't think of?
So you knew
were
someone?
Hung up on someone? I knew someone that was into you. I had, in a sly way, and I don't want to give anything away, I had sussed it out. And what that means is that I had dropped their name in the middle of a conversation to see what the response I could elicit.
Wow.
And it was none. It was dismissive. And that's fine. And here's the thing. I did some research on you. That's fine.
Okay.
So I didn't know, and this is common, are you hung up on someone else?
Right.
Right? That's fine.
Well,
the answer was no.
No.
In the research
I had
you've
done the research.
Okay, no.
Okay. You're not asking. Oh, no, you're reading the file.
Around.
Okay.
I asked around for my friend.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And the answer, I couldn't get a name. Everyone was like, I don't think he's dated anyone. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
So I couldn't. It wasn't anyone in the community if it was someone.
Okay.
So I got to know, was this an active decision? Because when we talked about it, you weren't necessarily 100% dismissive. It just seemed like you just didn't think about it, but not in a way that you were against it. Does that make sense?
Totally.
Like it was this mid gray.
It didn't register.
Didn't register. Yeah. Love that.
So that sounds like me. I will say this must have been what? 2015, 2016?
Oh, yeah. No. Because this was before and right when I started dating Norm. And I started dating Norm in 2016.
Okay.
So it was right in that. I can't give you the exact year, but it was in that range.
Okay.
Because Norm was there that night.
Wow.
That's why I know.
Okay.
But he had already been hanging out as a pal anyways with Anessa because they were living together and everything like that. But it was in and around that time because I remember talking to him about this.
Wow. This is incredible.
Yes.
This is so
I
funny.
I know, dude. This is like the tell all of fucking Bachelor right now, right?
This is really, do you go get this kind of scoop with everybody who comes on this podcast?
No, I don't. It's just, I came ready with you.
You're on a mission.
I
love
knew
it.
I needed to draw it's an open podcast. We can talk about whatever we want, but I knew I wanted to address that night if you were open to it because Patrick, these are very revealing things about you.
They are.
And I wanted the other side of the story.
Yeah, I totally understand that.
Years ago.
It was years ago, and I've had so many Jay's Bar nights with you. I'm having even trouble placing this conversation, so this is so wild because it feels like...
I'm going to tell you when we're done who the friend was.
I can't wait.
And that might help.
So historically, I have had a terrible, terrible time with picking up that people were interested in me because I didn't usually lead with the idea that they could be. Self-esteem wise, right? What we were talking about.
Which fucking sucks.
Yes. And that's
that
very
sucks.
Hard. And I used to be, you know, anybody who has gotten through to me that I have dated has had to be incredibly direct with me. Even still, sometimes while we're together, I'm like, what's the point? Why? What do they get? But that's, you know, neither here nor there.
Yeah.
I never saw myself as somebody. Here's what I'll say. There's a couple things going on here as well. I never quite saw myself, like whenever somebody told me that they had crushes on me, I was stunned. I was blown away because I'd be like, why me? I can't believe it. And then I also had a reputation for amongst my friends for like the coolest, most wonderful people will come forward to me and tell me that they have crushes on me and I will turn them down. And I was like,
oh,
I was
way
known-
to like drop this bum of a name on you. Regrets.
I'm
going to
be so
man.
Upset. I can already tell. I can already tell I'm going to be so upset. And
what
I'm going
to
call them.
What would you do if it was me? What would you do if it was me? And then right after this, you just have to call me and apologize.
Listen, I'm really sorry. That it is stunning. I mean, here's the thing. I would also say, too, 2015, 2016, I had recently dated someone. I was going through like this idea that like I liked this person, but you know, this person came to me, had some problems with me, and I said, "You must be right. You're right. I gotta go." Like basically, like, and I wasn't in a position where it was like, "Oh, I want to fight for this. I want to," you know. I had like speaking of self esteem, I had low self esteem. Where if somebody brought me criticism or somebody told me that something was wrong about me, I would say, "You're correct. I'm awful. I'll get out of here." So,
we've all been there. It's okay.
Yes,
don't
I was in a bad
come
place.
Down on you about it.
And
yet.
So I would generally feel like I'd be nervous to date people because I would be like, I'm going to disappoint you. I'm going to let you down. And I don't want to, even though I think you're great. And so I know this is heartbreaking. Sorry, saddest possible answer.
No,
but
it's
I would
not.
Say I would just say like I feel like that's not gonna, you know, I just was going through a lot. And then I also around that time, I think it was only, I think in 3 years later, that was a couple years before I like came to terms with my own sexuality, which I'm bisexual. So I came out in like 2018. And so
yeah.
I was dealing with some personal stuff then where it was like, at that point in time, I was like, I guess I'm never going to come out because for a lot of people, bisexuality doesn't matter or it isn't important. And I was like minimizing it and whatever. But it was important to me to like explore that and get into that. But I hadn't come out at that point. And I was kind of like, I guess I'll just kind of go along with things. And I'd also been in some other rough situations as well where there was just some stuff that wasn't great. And I was a little scared to get caught up. And I also was drinking a lot of the time. And I don't drink anymore. So that Patrick that you'd had a conversation with has had so much change. Which is so funny to talk about because I'm like, I stopped drinking like 3.5 years ago or so too.
I knew this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I knew this.
And it wasn't a problem, but I just learned to drink. You know, it wasn't like I need a big intervention. The last time I just drank like basically 9 hours straight in a heated pool. So I almost just lost myself. I almost was like,
Then
my body is just broken now and it doesn't like alcohol. But I grew up in Texas. I grew up like, you know, the first beer I ever had, I chugged. Like I learned to drink wrong. I naturally learned to drink wrong. So it was never like, it was never super healthy. So all that to say,
good for you for identifying that though.
Yeah.
It's not, cause it's not, you know, it's like, I think that is an interesting perspective where you're like, well, it's not necessarily the booze. It's that the way I was going about it.
Right.
And that's like a really, I haven't heard that perspective. That's really, and I'm not saying any's right or wrong or
anything like that,
but I'm like, oh, a learned behavior. I'm like, yeah, that's very interesting.
That's what it was.
It's just what you saw.
Yeah. And I, you know, was known for having a very high tolerance and I would drink really hard. And I was like, everybody does that. And I was like, no, I don't. So I was like,
I can't believe I accepted this ride home. If you were drunk, I'm going to be furious.
I was drunk out of my gourd, Elena.
How dare you endanger me?
What do you think? I was giving away my headlamp. I loved that headlamp. I woke up hungover the next day. No. I mean, I wouldn't drink like all the time, but like when we were out at bars or, you know, when we get one, I will say this.
You know? You were, yes, but you were certainly not anyone that I was like,
right.
He's incoherent.
We're all doing
like,
that.
We're all having
a good night out.
And I wouldn't
drive irresponsibly or anything like that. It was just like, this isn't working for
you
me.
Were, yeah.
And it was more of a perfect thing where I was like, if I stop drinking now, I wonder what it'll be like down the road, if that'll help me and my brain and my body and my career and all that stuff. And it has. And so I feel like I'm, you know, I took a shot like 3 months ago and it like was just like for fun for a friend's birthday and it didn't feel good and I didn't like it. So I was like, I don't like this. So I'm not going to do it anymore. So
All that
was happening in my head when you mentioned some name.
TBD.
And so I was like, you know, truly out of commission, I would say, like really walking out of commission, but really wanting to be in commission and really wanting to be liked and really wanting to be just someone that can have fun, but maybe someone that was nervous about if you got close to me, I wasn't sure if I was a good person to be close to in a romantic sense.
It sounds like there's a couple things going on now. So it's like, you know, first of all, the drinking, okay, that's putting a filter on everything.
Right
out of the gate.
It's fine. It's an excuse, right? Like, I was drunk. I don't know. I don't agree with that. I don't feel like that. Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, it's different for everyone. Mm-hmm. Some people can have it and be whatever. I've definitely been someone where I couldn't handle alcohol for periods of my life because whatever. The other things were happening and steps you know up. What I mean? You're abusing something. Yeah, whatever. That happens. But I will say this. Not hearing now. I knew about you being bisexual. But nonetheless, it not being a thing at that time that everybody knew. That's really interesting that I'm like, oh, if that's like an underlying thing with you, you might feel like you belong nowhere. And with
correct.
No one.
Correct.
Because I am in the middle. Where do I go?
Correct. And I've so dealt with that. Really I've dealt with people that. I've dealt with people that I dated that I've told that didn't receive it well. I've dealt with being in communities that didn't feel quite right. It's a whole thing. You know? Yeah.
I've totally been there. Yeah. And the second thing, and you said this earlier, was doing, did you say mushrooms in Joshua
Mushrooms,
Tree? And you realize you'll miss your body?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So that's another thing that I can 100% relate to, and I promise you, this audience, bless you guys for listening every week, can also relate to.
Love that.
Body dysmorphia.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
And this almost disconnect from a body because you dislike it so much. And for you to have to be on drugs and to have that moment going, wait, this is my body. I feel this way about it. I'll be sad if it's gone because I'm finally feeling whole with it.
Yeah.
You know, that's like a profound statement. And when you feel that way about your body, the last thing you want to fucking do is share it with someone else. Yes. That's the last thing you want to do. I'm going, I hate my body. And you want me to go, here it is and fucking turn these titties loose. Are you a fucking psychopath?
No fucking way. No way.
Like, are you crazy?
Yeah.
And I just, and I'm
like this thing is a piece of junk and I'm going to enter it in a race. No way.
Absolutely not. And that's the thing is that it's like, listen, this is a podcast. We are body positive. We'll take them any size, any shape. We don't fucking care. But just because I'm willing to accept them doesn't mean you guys are. And that's fine. Yeah. Everyone, their own journey, their own pace. But I certainly, and I will say this, it's when I was in the best shape of my life, probably in and around where we met in the height of my eating disorder. So,
oh my God.
You know, there you go. Well, I just got to say, guys, I hate to break it to you, eating disorders work. Could you imagine if I was like, well, thanks for tuning in, and then just ended the podcast?
And then you don't tell me who had a crush on me?
And that was the sound bite, is that eating disorders work?
But you somehow modulated to make it sound like I said it.
Yeah, and I'm like, fuck this guy. He's the psychopath I've been talking about this whole time.
I've had my eyes on him for 6 years. We got him, also, folks. Mission
do you
accomplished.
Like me calling? Yeah. Do you like me calling everyone a psychopath, sociopath, and maniac?
Yes.
These are my new hot terms I've been using.
I'm loving it.
And you can take those. You
I'm
can
loving
take
it.
Those. That's up for grabs.
Oh my God! Thanks. Thanks so much. But, I'll maybe use those.
Anyways, all this madness aside, at that time I did not want to share my body with anybody.
Yeah.
And that is sad because here's the thing about. Coming, everybody. When you blow your load, it doesn't matter if you're 500 pounds or 150 pounds or whatever. It feels equally as good.
Yeah. Come is come.
Come is come, baby. And this is something everybody needs to keep in mind is that nobody, if you're with somebody and somebody else is making you come, as they should be, everybody step up. Thank you. They made 5 movies about it. Step up. I mean, those were mainly about dance.
Step up to the streets, very coming sexual. In public. Absolutely.
Yeah. Very sexual movie. So very there might sexual. Be a 6. Thank you so much. But the whole point is that I'm like, that's a feeling.
Yeah.
Something that's happening. And yet all we've done is associated a look to it.
Yeah.
Doesn't that seem crazy?
It is really crazy, and it is internal, and it is, to me, it is also emotional. I also, the people that I date, I connect to emotionally. I think there is like a sexuality according to that.
And there's a level of comfort and all
that.
Yeah,
and it's a comfort,
and
it's a safety
thing.
That can
be sexy. And,
you know, I will say, like, I still struggle with, you know, my body and stuff like that. Recently, it's so funny because I always am like, especially like, you know, in the bisexual community, straight community, you know, guys look like guys. They can, it's a little weirdly, unfortunately, women are a little more lenient. I feel like women get
disgusting. I'm going to say this. You guys are slugs. You guys are slugs.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you right now, and you're lucky. I'm sticking around.
You tolerate
to sop up your secretion. Yeah. You make me sick.
It's disgusting. You guys absolutely let us get away with way too much. It's so upsetting. But then if I'm trying to get into the gay community and if I'm trying to hang out in one of those spaces, it is very difficult because I feel like sometimes, and this is, you know, I see discourses about this, but sometimes it feels like queerness is correlated to how little clothing you have on. So it's like you're in these spaces and people are wearing like underwear and leather and like you're like, oh, that person is clearly out and proud and whatever. And I'm also out and proud, but I'm potentially going to be wearing a Hawaiian shirt. I shouldn't wear that to the Abbey. But it's like, where do you figure out, where do you find that line? Exactly. So it's like I feel invisible in those spaces because I'm not necessarily going to be showing that off. So sometimes I feel like I don't have like a body that would look good in chaps. Potentially, or in a holster or something like that, or I don't feel comfortable doing that. So I'm like, I don't think that that's going to work for me. There's so many. That's not true. That's just feelings that I've dealt with. But recently,
but that's hard.
Yeah, it's hard. I just recently had a TikTok that I posted where I took my shirt off in the TikTok, and I was making fun of one of those lumberjacks. Have you seen those horny lumberjacks on TikTok?
Yeah, baby.
Oh, yeah. So I did one where I was a horny lumberjack, and I was like, you gonna open for me? You gonna be a good girl, like, to the log? Because that's what he does. And then I took my shirt off, and I was having trouble opening it. You know, I was shirtless and being like, ugh, are you in? Is it in? Like, just, like, bad. Basically, bad sex.
Ew, Patrick,
lumberjack.
You make me sick. Ew, I hate you.
But I posted it, and all these people, you can go look at it, Patrick McDonald, the zero instead of an O, if you're interested in that TikTok. All these people were commenting, I think this is sexier than the other guy. Like, genuinely being like, this is sexy to me. This still turns me on. This is still working for me.
Okay,
and it was
here
a huge revelation where I was like, this is what I got. That's also what I've always thought. This is what I got. It isn't, you know, it depends on how I want to use it or present it, but it's by no means I should count myself out. If other people are seeing something they're into, who am I to call them liars? Who am I to say that they're wrong or they don't have to say these things, you know? Take them for their word. If you're not going to listen to yourself, listen to what other people are telling you at least.
First of all, yes, I'm going to say this. It's rude of you. When someone says an opinion of theirs about you, so for example, if someone's like, I think you're so funny, I think you're attractive, I think you're this and that, and for you to be like, no, you're wrong, I'm right, that's fucking rude.
Yeah.
Because you can't tell someone if they're right or wrong about their opinion, so that is rude.
Correct.
For you to dismiss it, and you think you're being humble or self-deprecating or whatever, you're like, I'm meek, I'm this, I'm that, and what you are being is a dick, because you're telling someone they're wrong. And that's fucking rude.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
When it's their opinion about something. So it's like, who are you to say anything?
It's how they perceive something. Right. It's not about, they're not doing this for me.
No, nothing.
There's a level of self-centeredness.
It has nothing to do with you.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a self-centeredness about self-consciousness, I think.
Yes. And here's the other thing that kind of backfires against you. Being a comedian. Mm-hmm. Because as a comedian, and especially a male comedian, it's really hard to take your body seriously.
Yeah.
It is because we wanted other things from you. And and like you said, you know, not to be rude to all my exes, but it's like you said, it's like some guy in comedy could be a total schlub and here I am a knockout dating him because he's got this personality that really shines.
Yeah,
and
it's not right.
Yes, of course, these are one of the reasons why you want to date somebody, but it's not fair that I date a schlub because of his personality and I think he's amazing, but then I look however I look and I think that's terrible and that this schlub deserves better. And I'm like, we're all schlubs. Yeah. Yeah. You know, Norm,
we are.
Norm once said it best, and I said this at the show Not Too Shabby that I used to host in the gymnasium that you took over.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I had somebody reach out to me about it saying how relatable it was, but Norm said, we're all just tall walking pigs. And I said that in a show. I was like, that's interesting. And I said that I had heard somebody say this.
Yeah.
And someone reached out to me and was like, you know, as someone that's also struggled with eating disorders, because she had seen my other show in which I talked about my eating disorder. Mm-hmm. And she's like, as someone who's also struggled, that was really freeing to hear you say that, because it made me feel so much more anonymous.
Yeah.
In a positive way, in that your body doesn't matter.
Right.
So why not enjoy it? It's there.
Yeah. This is
your
the one.
Body can make you cream your jeans in like 10 seconds. Hello, can we tune in to this channel?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's
right.
And look, I'm fine. It works out. I can do it. I'm good.
Patrick, you work out. I hate to say it. It works out.
It works out.
You've got, let's review you. Okay. let's put this up for review. I can't believe it. I mean, we're deep in it now. Here we go.
We're so deep. I don't know if I've ever gotten this deep on a podcast in my life, Alana.
It's not necessary to know. It's not necessary to know. Here's the two cents about it. You're tall.
Okay.
People love height.
Yeah, they
people
do.
Love height. I don't know why. I'm 5'3". Everybody grow up, but people love height.
I actually love small, to be honest with you.
Thank you so much. Yeah. My time to shine.
Yeah.
Two, you've got these locks, these curls.
Yeah.
And let me tell you this, ladies, fellas, and anybody else, however they identify, love curly hair.
Hell
okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you that right now.
Yeah.
Everyone's always like, everyone with straight hair is always like, I wish I had curly hair. It's all I've ever wanted. And of course, with someone with curly hair, you have to be like, I always wanted straight hair. Guess what, everyone? I've been lying.
Whoa!
Actually, I've been lying the whole fucking time. I don't want your fucking dumbass boring hair.
No
I
way.
Love my hair.
I don't want that.
Everybody wants curly hair. Yeah,
I'm not going chasing waterfalls. I'll tell you that much. That is
don't go chasing
not
waterfalls.
Interested.
Don't go chasing boring falls. What are we, crazy here? Straight hair? I'm sorry, Patrick, but
boom.
I hate to say it. I'm not a literal sociopath, okay? I'm not going to say it. It's like I'm repeating myself here, but that's the fact.
The truth is the truth, and you have to push it. You have to lean into it. That's all this is. You're not
you're
a literal
tall,
sociopath. Yes.
You're tall. You've got those locks.
Yes.
You're funny. We're not even going to get into this one. You know you're funny.
Thanks.
Can we just say yes and move on?
Yeah.
Great.
I think I know I'm funny.
Let's move on. Yeah, we don't need the humble game.
Great.
I'm not going to tolerate that.
No,
okay?
Let's do it. I get paid. I get paid for it. The thing is I literally work. That's my job. So yes.
That's your job.
Correct. Like
You're good at it.
I understand the structure. I know how to do this. I know what to do. You know what I mean?
The sketch a day paid off. That's
sketch
the bottom line.
I want to clarify that. I wrote a sketch a day for two separate years, 2013 and 2015. So we must have met in 2015 because that's when I was writing a sketch a day. And then I never used any of those. So those 730 sketches I just used in the bank because I was like, I need to know what I think is funny. So I analyzed it by writing.
Had to have been 2015 because like I said, I started with Norm in 2016 and he was around the bar in those times and would come to Mod Night.
Wow.
So can't be 2013. He wasn't here.
Yeah. So it was 2015. Yeah. And I was
so 2015.
Just here. I was brand new. I was in Improv 101 in 2013. So
okay, well, stop showing off. Now you're being a bit much.
Yeah,
Patrick.
I was just a literal baby, actually.
So stop showing off that I breastfed you into the comedian you are today.
You did. You breastfed me at auditions. Yeah, absolutely.
Tall.
Tall.
Beautiful locks.
Yep. Curly.
Very
hair.
Funny.
Funny.
Here's the kicker. And you already gave a clue as to why I'm going to say this one. Respectful.
Wow.
And here's why. You gave me the ride home.
Mm.
And here's something else about you. You always asked, and this isn't, listen, whatever. We're going to get gender specific because we have to for this. You would always ask the women where they were parked and if they needed a ride or a walk to their car.
Thank you. Yeah, I do.
And
that's
not, I'm sure you would have walked anybody,
mm-hmm.
but you made a point to ask all the women if they needed a walk or a ride to their car.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely respectful. And that, because at that time, just so everybody knows, there was, especially at UCB Franklin, a lot of muggings happening of people walking to their car and performers, especially walking to their car, especially women were getting mugged. And it was like a really big problem. An email went out about it. It was that big of a problem. And you were someone that took it seriously, and you always did that, Patrick. And that is something that was much appreciated. Oh, and and I said, yes, here we go. I did say, yes, I'll take ride. Yeah. What do I care? You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah, because you live pretty close to UCB.
I did.
I think it was just dark.
Yeah, because Inessa took my old place that was right by UCB. And then I moved two streets over, and that's where you dropped me off. I remember that.
I mean, it that's kind of the Texas in me for sure. I mean, that my parents raised me. My parents are not from Texas, but they raised me with Texas values because I'm from out from Dallas. So it was like very important to just be a decent person.
Very respectful. Okay. And then, so we have, let's recap, because I keep recapping. We've got tall, we've got golden locks, we've got fun, and we've got respectful. Here's the kicker: a yes man.
Wow.
Patrick, if there's anybody you're looking to kick it up with, that you're going to location one and two with, that you're looking to do a show with, that you're looking to come to your birthday party with, the number one attendee with the biggest smile on, and the least amount of ego there, Patrick McDonald.
Oh, my God.
Least likely to show up with the biggest ego, Alana Johnston.
Fact.
You know I was a rare attendance. Fact.
Yeah. I mean, I invited you to my birthday, and you sent me a writer for what I needed there. Green M&Ms, your own bathroom.
I needed all of it, and I continue to.
Yeah.
I continue. Yeah. The pandemic has not changed me whatsoever. I continue the same things. Even though I'm desperate to see people, I require the same nonetheless. Absolutely.
No, that is very, but that's so nice to hear, because I wanted to be that person, right? I want to be the person that's, and I just love to be down for things. That's the human existence, the experience.
You are.
Being out till 2 a.m, having fun. Sleeping when I'm older, that's what I'm worrying about. You know what I mean? I love having the experience. And I feel like I've had really crazy, kind of singular, wild experiences in my life because of that. And I think it's tantamount to my existence, is like being around and being down. And I also realized I love people. Like, I think that's a weird thing, but like, I like obsess
people.
Over.
It's
I
not love weird. You love
people. I love it.
You
I love learning
do.
About people and talking to people and seeing what's up with them.
Yes.
And I just am fascinated. Like, I think I geek out over people, like human beings.
But that's why you're such a good writer.
Yeah.
No, it really
I think
is.
So. You're right.
Because you write the way people talk. And Norm and I have had this conversation 1,000 times. It's like, to write the way people real life talk is captivating.
Yeah.
Because then when we see the screen, we see ourselves.
Yeah.
But when people write the way they think people talk, it's wrong.
It's really funny
do you know what I mean?
Yes. Oh, it's wrong. And also, like, that's my favorite thing, is when you read a writer who doesn't know that they're showing their hand, that they think of certain people a certain way, or they think women
like,
would respond
this
to them
is
or whatever.
Exactly how a lady would say, I'm having fun. Right. She'd say, fuck me raw. And just so everybody knows, you can take that line for your scripts. That's fine.
You are going to have to credit Alana, but that you can take it for sure.
Patrick, I don't even need the credit. I've got 1,000 of those ready to go.
Those singular
you
lines?
Think you think I don't have the singular lines ready to go.
No, I believe you do. I absolutely believe you do.
Patrick, what do you think about all these bombs I've been dropping on you? Because I'm coming in hot.
You have,
this episode.
In many ways, Alana, you've absolutely decimated me.
Oh my God, your self-esteem is going to be a fucking 2 by the time this thing is over. Mission accomplished.
No, I just feel very seen. You know, I think what's so funny is I have always loved you.
Of course I see you.
Yes.
You're special to me.
That's so sweet. It's so sweet. I am honored by that, truly, because I've always like truly looked up to you and thought you were so wonderful. Every time I get to see you, I truly like you make me laugh in a way that very few people do, because I think you're so singularly singular and special and put attention on me. I think about it almost every day. The fact that you did a full show of 30-second songs is like, when I mean, roughly, estimates. 30 seconds is long for some, short for others. You are the most Gary, right? You're the most yourself that you could possibly be. And it's so refreshing and exciting to see. So to know that you've been taking me in is flattering a million times
over. I've got my notes ready to go about you. And I am the most Gary Shandling, actually. You are. Thank you so much you for are the saying most. That. Patrick, I have an invite for you. I try to find a way to mention it every single episode leading up to the show.
Okay.
But myself and Mo Welch, we're doing a double bill, Johnson and Welch, Thursday, 7:30 p.m., May 19th, Dynasty Typewriter. I'd love to have you there. I'm doing some songs.
Okay.
I'm doing a bit of storytelling. I've got a few fun dances. There's a bit of a karaoke sing-along. We've got it all.
I'm going
to
be there.
Patrick, I'd love to see you there.
I would love to be there. You were in Fort Worth. I messaged you because I am from Fort Worth. I hope that That's some right. of my friends went to see you.
We tried to go
to Jotee's.
And sold out. We went to two different BBQ places for lunch and they were sold out.
Wow. Everyone was
like
just
all the food. I was trying to get brisket.
Oh yeah, brisket's Texas. Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
like the number one.
It's great. That's amazing. I mean, I gotta come see it. You guys are both so
funny. Come, but you
I'm
must.
Come.
You
I'm so, coming. You quite I'll be there May 19th.
And Patrick, yes. Now, here's what I want to know. Oh, and perfect. We're nearing the end. We've got some time to talk about this.
Huge.
What have you been working on? What's going on? I know there was a job. I know there was. We're leading. I'm just going to say two words. Jimmy Buffett.
Oh,
or
yeah.
one name, as it might be called.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that. You take over the rest. Tell okay. us the journey so, as to why I'm saying that name.
I think this is a testament to how much I love people. So I do two very specific jobs right now for money, and then I have other things that I do. But one of them is I am a DJ on Radio Margaritaville. My co-host is actually coming over right after this. We're going to record our show for the week. We're on Friday nights with Patrick and Ryan, 7 to midnight. We play Jimmy Buffett music. We hang out, Channel 24, SiriusXM. You get in your car, get on the SXM app. It's very fun. That was wild. We hosted a podcast for like 7 years about only Jimmy yes. Buffett. And then we got reached out to by the SiriusXM DJ. But so I do that. And it's been very, very fun. I am also a writer on the internet company Smosh, which is like a big, you know, the sketchy kind of thing. So my two jobs are I write sketch comedy for Gen Z and I host a radio show for baby boomers.
Here we go.
And I'm a millennial.
A man so about town.
I love people. I love being a part
all
of communities
people,
and environments.
All ages.
It's very fun. Other than that, I have all sorts of random things in the works that of course I can't talk about because they're not real until they're real, which is very exciting. And then, but I will say something that is recent that this should still be up by the time you post this. If you go to my Twitter, at Patrick McDonald 0 instead of an O, I have recently, a couple days ago, I started a red carpet for the birds in my backyard, and it is giving me life. It went shockingly viral, and people are sharing it, and it's a weird thing, but I just set up a wildlife camera, and a bunch of birds and squirrels come and eat, and then I talk about you know, what kind of celebrities they are, whether they're not a young starlet or the stars of a... I did catch...
I've been following this. Yes, I
mean,
have.
Look, I just
course,
posted
I knew.
Two birds straight up had sex on screen. And that was divisive. Yeah. That has
birds
been kind of crazy. And I'd never seen birds have sex like that, to be honest. And the female bird kind of opens herself up directly to the camera. And it's lurid.
Well, Patrick, here's the thing. How do you know the name I wasn't going to say was mine?
Wow.
And to show you that this is what women do.
Really?
We branch out.
Really?
We open up and we go, come and get us. No, it wasn't me, Patrick. If I wanted you, I would have fucking had you grow
oh,
up.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, you would have had
me. What are you kidding me? I run the fucking gamut. Get real. I'm not going to listen to this for one second. Oh, because somebody's walking around and I can't get them. You gone mad.
Oh my God. Hold on. My computer's dying. Give me a second.
No, it's okay. Guess what? This podcast is over. I hate to break it to you.
It's done?
It's done. It's that
Whoa,
quick. Isn't
that was
it beautiful?
Wow. You just really, you brought me in, you spun me around, and you sent me back
and
out.
I spit you the fuck out. Goodbye.
Wow.
Patrick, you gave us your Twitter. Tell us your social handles again so that we can find you to find all this stuff that you're doing.
Twitter at Patrick McDonald 070. Same thing on TikTok. Instagram at Patrick. So that's
say the TikTok and Twitter again. You said it a little fast.
Patrick McDonald.
Say it again.
Patrick McDonald with a zero instead of an O. So PatrickMcDonald.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Because that's where we're going to see the birds.
That's where you're going to see the birds.
The squirrels and everything.
And I, you know, let's be honest. I think I'm, it feels virally, it feels like it's dying down, but I'm going to run it to the ground. So by the time you see it, I'm going to keep it going because I'm doing this for me. Speaking of self-esteem, one of the worst things for self-esteem is social media, but I found this thing that I love and I'm going to keep doing it until I want to. Because I like to look back on it like a photo album or a scrapbook.
Patrick, before we go, I'm going to give you the key to self-esteem on
social
media.
Holy shit. Okay, let's hear
it. It's two words. Every post you post, every story you put up, every comment you make, every like you give, every fave you favor. Two words. Lucky them.
Absolutely.
And that's it.
Hell
that's
yeah.
That's the key to social media. If you guys want to follow the podcast on social media, we are at Self Esteem Party on Instagram and Twitter. And if you'd like to follow me, lucky you, I'm at the only Alana Johnson on Instagram and at Alana_Johnson on Twitter. And don't forget to check out the Patreon where I chat with all the guests that have been on the podcast before and see what they're up to. I do a monthly check-in with producer/husband/roommate Norm Sousa. And I also do monthly Patreon calls with our listeners. Because I am that great. Lucky them. Patrick, what a treat.
What a joy.
I gotta say, what a treat. What a way to get the backstory and stay on the line for that secret name.
Yeah? Oh, you're gonna have to pry me off this Zoom. I can't wait to hear it. Oh, boy.
Let's pry him off. Goodbye.
Bye.
Believe in yourself. Believe in your body.